And we're here on the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WGI Radio. Michael Harry, DetroitLions.com, as we talk Lions football. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Ken Brown. Have you got the remains of Thanksgiving gone now?
A bad turkey day, but I want to get that in a minute. From this point on, the real season begins. Now, let me start by prefacing what I'm saying. The first couple of months of the season either puts you into the running or takes you out. Like, you can lose the season in the first part, but you can't win the season in the first part. The last eight games, tell the story of what type of team you're going to be. And I think even Campbell said that before, that, you know, real teams play after November.
December.
Yeah, in December and January. December. So we're getting into that point now. And I'm going to count the Thanksgiving game as the first of the games that count in this scenario. And it was a disaster waiting to happen. They blew all the goodwill they had, not only in this community, but nationwide, laying a flat egg like they did. And egg was not the word I was going to use when I was going to use the word land, but I'm a respectful person. I just thought it was terrible. And it may not set them back long term to what they're trying to do, but it does set them back in the minds of a lot of people. And I just thought it was an embarrassment the way they played.
Yeah, I thought it was a terrible game, and I thought, you know, and I think I said this to you, maybe not, but I'm pretty sure I did. The fans deserve more. They really do. Listen, this is a long reach and all that, and I get it. You can stop me when you want to. But look, this is a game that the Detroit Lions invented in 1935. They should dominate it. They should absolutely dominate Thanksgiving Day, and they haven't, and they didn't. And that just irritated me. I don't know why. It just did.
It'd be different if it was like the game they played last year against Buffalo. Hard-fought game. Could have won but didn't. Lost at the end. I had no problem coming out of that game last year. You were playing a better team. You played them down to the last possession. It was a great game to watch. Everybody was into the game. You lost. We go home and have dinner. That was an abomination, what I saw Thursday. And I'm going to tell you right now, you know I'm not a Jared Goff fan. We've already stated this on this podcast. That was the L.A. Rams, Jared Goff. And I've only seen him a couple times this season. I saw against Baltimore. Hit him in the mouth early, and he's useless the rest of the game. And I think all teams now in the league see that. And if you get to him, you're going to have problems because he's not going to do a damn thing. And I thought he was off time. He was panicky in the pocket. How are you in the league this long and still panicky in the pocket? I don't get that. I just don't get it. You know? And well, talking about a contract extension, I'm looking at, can we make it to the end of this contract? I don't want to see that again.
Well, I think there's more to go. I mean, I'm going to make a judgment on two games or one game or anything like that. He had a couple of bad games, and we'll see what happens in the final six. I think you've gone overboard on this, but that's up to you, and that's fine. That's your opinion, but, and that's great.
But this is my thing. This is my only thing.
No.
Let me get out, because I don't want you to think I'm just golf bashing. We had Matt Stafford here. Win or lose, didn't win a lot, won some. But one thing you could say about him, he'd take 20 hits, and he would get back up and still stay in that pocket and throw that ball. There was no question of what he was doing out there. May not have succeeded, but there was no question. I got question with this guy. I got question when it's down and dirty. Are you going to stand up? I got a question.
Okay, let me ask you this. If you go back to the game of the previous week when, what is it, 4 minutes and 15 seconds, he directs two 80-yard drives, bing, bing, Lions win. Which Jared Goff was that one?
Yeah, the Jared Goff that wasn't taking any heat during that 2 minute drive. There was no pressure on him during that drive. The line held the line kept him clean for that last 4 minutes of the game. That's not my point. He can do that. He can do the pristine stuff. But I want to see when it's down and dirty, because I'm gonna tell you right now, you play in San Francisco in the playoffs, it's gonna get down and dirty. You play in Philadelphia in the playoffs, it's going to get down and dirty. If you get past those and ever get to Dallas, it's going to be down and dirty. So these are the teams that you're trying to beat, and you're not going to beat it with that Pollyanna crap I saw to him.
wow, you sound like you really mean this.
Well, they just ruined Thanksgiving, man. And like I said, last year's game, I have no problem with when Buffalo came and they lost. That was a hard-fought game they played. It was no excuse for a Green Bay Packer team to come in and do what they did to you. I'm not leaving the coach out either. Fake punting crap got to stop. The teams are looking at it now. You're giving up too much. It was no way that play was succeeding when you looked at it. Maben, the gunner or whatever, should have called that playoff. It's just stupid. You're only down 9 points in the third quarter. Why are you doing stuff like that? I think the coach panicked on that play.
Yeah, I didn't like that play at all. I didn't like it from the beginning. And you could just see it because it was coming in the direction that we're sitting. I mean, we're seven rows up. Up. And it just didn't look good. There was just nothing in it. I agree with that. I'm with you on that one wholeheartedly. Did he panic? I don't know about that, but he made the wrong choice. And in his post game, and we're talking about Dan Campbell, in his post game remarks, he said he made a mistake. He shouldn't have done it.
All right, I don't want to hear that no more out of him either. Just don't say nothing. After the game means nothing. I shouldn't have done it. No, we don't want to hear that. You did it. Don't say nothing. Just move on. Like playing the game Clue. He's Colonel Mustard in the library with the rope. Nobody want to hear that. It's over. Move on. I'm fired up today, as you see.
Yeah, you are. You're almost out of control, but not quite.
I'm not semi out of control, but the only thing out of control is when you don't bring facts. Everything I've just stated was fact. I haven't said one thing yet that's not fact. But that being said, depending on tonight's game with Minnesota and Chicago can actually beat a real team. We'll see. You might still be three games up in the loss column, which it's going to take work to lose this division. All right? It's going to take work. You may not get the number one seed anymore. I think the number one seed now is pretty much out of the question.
Hold it. Just a second. Did you ever think they were going to get the number one seed?
Yes. They had a chance.
Really?
Mike, their schedule was the easiest going down the stretch of all three of these teams that are going for it. They had a chance. Now, see, you giving them too much credit. They did have a chance. Because with the schedule they had, they shouldn't have lost more than one more game. And that was on an upset. And I'm telling you right now, Philly's going to lose another game or two. And San Francisco's going to lose another game or two. And they play each other, so you know one of them's going to lose. They had a chance. Is it a deserving chance? Maybe. Now, that's a question that maybe you can ask. Maybe not. They're deserving number one. But they had a chance. But I'm going to tell you right now, you don't give up your chance on a game like that. You give up your chance on a game like Denver coming in who's playing good, or Minnesota at the end of the year where they need it. Okay, if you lose one of those to Dallas, okay, those are games I can understand. You played, you lost, you don't have a chance anymore. But you don't give it up on a Thanksgiving game to a team like Green Bay. It's ridiculous.
No, well, we're talking about different things, but I never thought the Lions were a 15-2 or 14-3 team. Absolutely never. I thought they were 11 wins, maybe 12, and that was their ceiling.
Yeah, but
absolute ceiling. I'm just telling you what I think.
But when I went back to the 91 team, and I remember that, I never thought that team was a 12-win team, but they ended up winning 12. It just got hot and won. And there's no reason why the Lions couldn't have got hot this last part of the season and lucked out and got 15. They could have, but it's not happening. They could have. But
it's amazing how you can remember what you thought 33 years ago.
Because the Lions were coming off. They weren't coming off a winning year, remember, going into 90. They didn't win in 90. 91, they started winning. And at one time, I think they were 6-4.
Well, they were 6-2, then they were 6-4.
That's usually what 6-4 means, right?
I'm just telling you, Mr. Know-It-All, I'm just telling you how it happened.
Right.
They were 6-2. They lost their quarterback to an Achilles injury. They lost the next two to get to 6-4, and then they won six straight to make the playoffs.
Again, as we can save time and tape, they were 6-4, and then they won the game. So I didn't think they were a 12-win team, but they did it. That's a team that wasn't supposed to win 12 games that year, but they did it. This Lions team this year could have done it. They didn't. So we're going to move on from it. They had their chance. They still got a chance, but not playing like Thursday. Now, I'm not coaching the team, so I can be a little high-strung. Dan Campbell in the press conference took the, we just need to clean up some stuff. I like these guys, blah, 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 blah. He's not panicking, which probably is the best way to go about it. But do you think that behind closed doors and when nobody's doing press conferences, that he has some worries about what's happening?
Of course he does. Look, you're a head coach. You worry when you win. What are you talking about?
No, I'm talking about not worried about the wins and losses, but worried about some things that he might not be able to fix the rest of this year.
I think they do have things they can't fix the rest of the year. You think they can fix their secondary the rest of the year? You think they're going to fix all of that? First play of the game, 53-yard pass. Are you kidding me? You think they're going to fix all that? They tried to, and the two of the guys that they signed, one played a game, and the other one played two plays. Guys were supposed to shore up the secondary. Never really got them on the field.
Well, one way you can fix the backfield up is to get a better pass rush.
That's part of it. Yeah,
no,
absolutely, of course.
But we didn't
trade
for anybody at the deadline, so we thought that was fine. Now, unless Bruce Irvin comes in as the second coming of, whoever, then
I have his rookie card, Ken. You sound like you're running out of
wind. I was going to say Deacon Jones, but I just did. I couldn't even disrespect Deacon Jones with coming out with his name to these bums the Lions are putting out there.
How about the fearsome foursome? Why don't you try that? Let's go for that one.
Anyway, back to my story. There are things he can't fix, but I'm done with my ranting about what they didn't do. Now I'm going to
no,
talk
you
about,
aren't.
Yeah, I'm done.
No,
with
you
me.
Aren't.
I'm
no,
done
you
with
are.
It.
You will never be done.
I'm done
never.
With it. I put it like this. I have not seen any improvement of defense in 2 years. Now, they probably have the same bunch of players. They got a couple. Brian Branch is a good player. Might be the damn best player on the damn defense, him and Hutchinson. And Hutchinson is a hit and misser right now because, you know, they don't have anybody else on the line that's getting any kind of, you know, pushed from the other side. And they're keying on him. I saw a play. Brian Baldinger put up a play on his Twitter page that he does cut-ups for games. And he they triple team Hutch. They had the fullback hit him. They had the guard pull, and they had the tackle hit him. I mean, they were not going to let Hutch disrupt that game. And if you got three guys concentrating on one guy, somebody got to win a one-on-one on the other side.
One-on-one, it would be more like two-on-one.
Something. You got to do something.
you're running out of players, man. What are you talking about?
So I'm not going to rehash this whole Green Bay game because it was just a debacle from beginning to end. They embarrassed themselves in front of the nation again. People have moved on from them. The fraudulent Lions, who everybody was anointing as one of the best three in the NFC, come out and lay an egg to a bum team. Nah, you gotta deal with it. You had your chance to announce yourself on national TV because a lot of people don't pay attention until the big games like that. Even the Monday night game, a lot of people don't watch it like they used to. But Thanksgiving games and games like that where you're the only game in town, those are announcement games. So what you did was announce yourself to be a semi-fraud right now. So you got to get your mojo back and start winning games. It was a chance you had. You blew it. So now you got to step back and push up again, and that's where they are right now.
Well, they better do it against
anybody.
When they get to New Orleans on Sunday,
they better do it against anybody. They better run four of these last six at least. 5-1, they hopefully. You know, you're not leaving yourself any margin for error now. You got to go ahead. And you want to be playing good for that playoff game at Ford Field if you're going to have it. You don't want to be falling in the playoffs like, remember the Rams when they had a 7-9 a couple of years ago and who was at Tampa Bay last? You don't be falling in the playoffs like that and then just going to be, you'll be gone by that Saturday afternoon of the season ending Sunday. You'll be the first game on Saturday and about 4 o'clock on Saturday you out the playoffs. That's not what you want to do. So, time to get it together.
I think the Lions were 9-7. Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about when the Rams that year were 7-9, and they made the playoffs. They lost the next weekend.
No, that's
last
been,
year
that's
when Tampa happy. Bay. Last year when Tampa Bay went in with a losing record,
right?
And
they,
you know, you lost the first game of the year at the playoffs, and you out by 4 o'clock the first playoff, you know, afternoon.
Well, at least you shift your focus. You're taking on the entire NFL now.
Well, look. There's no more to say about the Lions. You only can come and do it. Now, let's talk about some stuff that can do. A couple of guys have been released, and a couple of guys are going to be or should be, and there are guys out there, if you don't have the guys on the team now, and I know you all with that we're a team, fight, 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 rah, 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 push, push, push. But if there's some replacements out there that can give you even a little bit more than what these guys now who you gave enough time to, you gave 11 games to, and haven't showed you anything, it's time to move on from them. And a couple of these guys, Philadelphia cut Derek Barnett, the defensive end, drafted in 2017, a couple picks before Charles Harris, who's on the Lions now, who's not doing a damn thing, was in the first round of that draft. Hasn't done anything in a couple of years for Philly. I'm not going to sit here and say he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, but Philly's line is deep. Might be able to help you out. And he's been put on waivers. We'll find out about 4 o'clock if they pick him up. I would pick him up. You have nothing to lose. Pick him up and bring him in. He doesn't have a big salary, so you can see if he's got anything left at all that can help you at all. Number two, the Raiders were supposedly cutting Marcus Peters this week because of a bad attitude and other things. Marcus Peters, who took Goff back 100 yards almost in that game against the Vegas Raiders. Cornerback, played for the Rams. Brad Holmes knows him well. Might be a guy you might want to look at. Those are two guys that might be out there that, well, one of them will be out there unless he gets picked up, that you might want to look at, that they can't do any worse than what you have out there now. Where are you at with picking up guys?
Well, I'm all for picking up guys, but when you say they can't be worse, of course they can be worse. They could be worse than the guys you've got. You're just assuming everybody out there on waivers is better than what you've got. It's not necessarily true, Kenny. It's
so
just
you
not.
Can pick up a guy, and he can be worse than a guy who's got you no sacks and no tackles.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying
no,
he's good.
No, he can be the same. He can't be worse. You can do no worse.
Sure you can. Sure you can.
Okay. That's what me and you differ.
Of course.
All right.
Listen, we've had this argument for 20 years. I think I finally won it.
No, you ain't won it. And there's been guys you picked up before that have helped this team.
Of course. Of course. I'd love to get you.
I'm upset with this Brad, with this Dan Campbell, this team, and you got to have the right guy on this team, and we can't have any. You know, there's got to be the right place, the right parse, the right price, the right guy, you know, the right ad. Forget that, man. Get some football players in here. You know, get some football players. If you get a chance to get a football player, get it. That's why I'm mad about the trade deadline. If you had a chance to go get somebody to help you out this year, go get them. You know, I just let that go. I just let that go. What else?
Come on, don't run out of steam on me now. You're still rolling. Come on.
I'm done talking about it. We can talk about the upcoming game. They got the Saints, who is not world beaters by any way, but it is a road game, and you got to go down there. And for some godforsaken reason, they're in first place with a 5-6 record, them in Atlanta, you know, two bottom finishers. Now, you have beaten all three teams this year in that division, and this is the fourth of those games. So why not go for the clean sweep?
Of course. Well, why wouldn't you? You would anyway. Look, one thing about it, look, they gave up 224 yards rushing yesterday. And I think, you know, the way the Lions run the ball, this is set up for them to dominate the game, absolutely dominate it.
If you run it.
Well, they have been running the ball.
I thought they were running against Green Bay, and I thought they were running good, but they didn't do it a lot, and they weren't down by that much. They stopped going to run. I just thought they left the run a little early on Thanksgiving.
I wouldn't agree with that, but it's not it's immaterial.
Well, it's not immaterial. It's just
that they had more than 30. They ran it more than 30 times.
I'm looking at it right here. They ran 31 times. They ran 15 and 11. They ran a total of offensive plays. They ran 84 offensive plays. So 31 runs and 84 offensive plays. That don't seem like you. It looks like to me like that's a little let off the gas because you weren't passing. You weren't completing any passes or any good ones. You know, he threw 44 times. 44 times is too much for Jared Goff to be throwing. He's not a 44 pass a game guy. He's a play action guy, you know, play off that run. And you got two good running backs. Now, if those 44 passes were a lot of screen passes or something, then I'll say, okay, he can do 44. But he should not be throwing 44 balls in a game.
Well, I think when you get behind, you got to do what you got to do. And then the last possession, they scored a touchdown. Now, they didn't have enough time left to get the ball back, really. They tried the onside kick. Didn't work, which it never works anymore. It's a waste of time even trying it.
Well, you have no choice. It was 15-second left in the game.
That's what I said, yeah.
But the play, that's the series before that, he went down to the end zone, into the red zone, and came up empty. The series right. where you needed the touchdown, where you needed your quarterback to make a play, right. where he throws to the other side of LaPorta in the end zone, where if you throw it to the other side of him, it's a touchdown. Those are plays that aren't made that I'm talking about that a real G is going to make. And he's got to get back to being the real G. Because what I saw the other day, you can take that back to L.A. We don't need that here.
Okay. Kenny, are we done?
Yeah, we're done because I can see where this is going. And I've said enough. We can just take it here. Trust me.
How much of this are you going to erase?
I ain't erasing none of it. I played this whole damn thing. And I'm lucky I don't do a second podcast. So, anyway.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, we'll check back this week when we do our picks for the end of the week on the New Orleans Saints game. And we'll all be, back to kumbaya. We done forgot about what went down. And we'll all pretend like nothing happened. And we'll just be in love again with a mediocre product. And we just have to accept it. I'm fine with that. If that's the way you want to do it, I'm fine with it.
You think they're mediocre, 8-3?
I think they played a mediocre game in a game where you don't need to be mediocre. I just thought it was a.
That's not what I asked you, though. That's not what I asked.
I'm going to tell you like this. Is it all truthfulness? They're not getting better per week. Like Peter King in his column today in the morning, go read it. He said that he thinks they plateaued. And I kind of agree. And I rarely agree with Peter King on a lot of things. But I can agree with his assessment this morning that it looks like they plateaued.
I think that's possible, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah,
they plateaued. So are they the team they were earlier in the year? No. Are they good enough to make the playoffs and win a division? You're 8-3. I think you got to win 3 more games to win this division. If you can't win 3 more games, then you had no business in the playoffs anyway. So that's the goal.
If you don't win, you don't deserve to be in the playoffs.
I'm saying, but I don't want to back in with a 9-8 record and just because the division's bad, you won the division. No, I want to see them get 11 wins. 11 legitimate wins makes the playoffs. That's what I want to see.
Right.
So that'll be close to what you predicted at the beginning of the year. And they can.
Well, I said 10-7 would be my floor, and I thought they could be an 11 or 12 win team. Could be.
Just win the division is all I say. Go ahead. You got such a lead, win the division. But I don't want to see complacency sit in, and I don't want to see Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell offer excuses like we're building and we didn't want to blah, blah, blah. Nobody want to hear that now. You got 8 wins. Start going for it. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
Jim Brown from WGR Radio. Listen to Alex Anzalone this afternoon, and I'll put some of these questions to him because I know he wasn't a happy camper because he's playing his butt off, and I just feel that he's almost.
Wait a minute. Why is the guy who's on WJR between 3-6 or 4-6 is always playing great? Always, whoever it is.
You just answered your own question. You just answered your whole question. Because he's on JR between 4-6. That's why. If he was on the other station, then he'd be out of here.
Put it like this.
No, but he is playing. You got to still admit it.
He's a really good player. He's really athletic. He's strong. He's smart. And he's a good guy, too.
And he's one of the leaders on a sieve of a defense. So I'm going to ask him today about how he's going to have to step up and get these guys together because he's the leader. And he's going to have to do something because, like I said, I don't see any improvement defensively with these guys from earlier this year and last year. And I'm not going to – like I said, I don't call for jobs and I don't call for all that other stuff, but I just don't like the scheme they run.
I think they're good run defenders. I think that the rest of it can have it.
I thought they were good run defenders, but the last couple of weeks they've been getting gas with the run a little bit. You know?
I don't agree with that.
Look at the yards per carry the last couple of weeks. And I know you had some quarterbacks that had big runs.
That's because the quarterback had a 37-yard run.
Excuse it a little
bit.
Of
the game.
But I saw a lot of 5-yard runs and whatever. They're not stuffing like they were early in the season.
I don't agree with
and,
you.
I still want to know what's going on with Bugs and these other guys. It's just a bunch of funniness. Kirby Joseph was on the sideline. I saw a video of him yelling at everybody. And it's just something is just not exactly right with this defense. So we're going to find out what it is. We're going to find out. Like I said, you either going to step up or you're going to step off. This is the time where the big boys step up and the other guys step off. So we'll find out.
All right.
All right, Michael here, DetroitLions.com. Kim Brown from WGR Radio. See you on our preview game podcast Friday.